Blog Talk Radio. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's no escape, don't look away. Something is coming, now it's on the way. It's going down, feel it right now. Lost in the rhythm of color and sound. This is unreal, strange and surreal. This is the future and I got the feel. Make you say oh, make you say wow. It's all right here and right now. Jaw dropping, eye popping, jaw dropping. Are you ready for this now? Jaw dropping, eye popping, no stopping. Are you ready for this now? Jaw dropping.
Welcome to Here I Am, a podcast that embraces the changes of the world and within, bringing you back to who you really are. I'm Anna East, and thank you for being here too.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Here I Am. I'm Anna East. If you haven't listened before, welcome, welcome. The music you just heard is called Jaw Dropping by Princess Ikena. Each week, I choose new music to feature, so if you'd like to submit your own music to be featured in this podcast next week, I'd love to hear it. Please do send it in. So, here we are on a fine Tuesday night, and I feel great energy in my core as I'm preparing to have a conversation with our guest, Lendale Johnson. I was attracted to speaking with Lendale tonight for a few reasons. Number one, he is using his platform to empower others and create change. Number two, he comes across as being very authentic, open, which in my opinion is also incredibly empowering and invites others to do the same. And number three, I just felt like I had to take this opportunity to hear from his mind. And I'm going to be quite honest with all of you too. Right now in my life, I am personally trying to figure out how I can best follow my own calling or my own dharma of opening up perspectives, truly connecting with each other, and using my art and my gifts to help create a world that's more inclusive, empowered, free, and loving for us all. It's a tall order, I know, but I think it's possible, and I think it's deserved too. And I do believe that tonight's conversation will help me grow. So, who is Lendale? Lendale Johnson is America's first openly gay professional tennis player, star of Dudes and Love on Amazon Prime, actor, model, and head pro and director of the Johnson High Performance Tennis Academy, a celebrity and public tennis academy based in New York. So without further ado, here is Lendale. Hey, Lendale.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
How is everyone doing?
I'm happy to be
on. First of all, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been so wild with all of these interviews. I've been trying to just keep everything and scheduled. I mean, it's so funny. My mom is like, she's really good with planning. My dad is not good with planning. I feel like I'm like a little bit of both of them. So I'm kind of like in the middle.
Like you've got it. And you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You've got it. What am I doing? Well, is this your third? Is this your third interview today? You had said?
Yes, it's my third interview, which wasn't planned. It wasn't planned. Like, I guess it's just how the cards are dealt with, you know, we just have to kind of roll with that.
Yeah. It's nothing and then everything all at once.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being here with us today too. I know my listeners are excited to hear about you and you're doing and your story and everything. So I really can't wait to dig in and learn more about you.
Yeah, of course. If it's something I feel comfortable sharing with, then I definitely will.
Yes, absolutely. To your comfortability, of course. But so we talked about you living in Brooklyn. I wish I was living in Brooklyn.
Oh my God. Brooklyn is just, I don't even know where to start about Brooklyn. I'm like, I've been here for like a year now, actually. I originally moved to New York in 2018, and I actually started out in Williamsburg, and then I kind of just like meandered over here to Bushwick. Actually, I'm in Bushwick now, so
okay.
It's very different. Awesome. It's very, very different.
How did you find your way to Brooklyn, or to New York in general? Where are you from originally?
I'm actually originally from Chicago and Michigan. Calhoun, Michigan is a really small town. It's literally right in between like Chicago and Detroit. Like if you had like a map and you got to the center of it from, you know, like the distance between Chicago and Detroit, Kalamazoo would be like probably right in the center.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
So what drew you to New York? Tennis actually brought me to New York, believe it or not. Tennis brought me here. I just spoke with a friend about this. I literally came to New York with literally just my tennis bag. Like, I swear to God, it was just my tennis bag and a dream.
At that point, that's what you did. Oh my goodness. Different ways your tennis bag is representative of whatever, you know. It's like, I at one point moved out to LA with my car, you know, and here we go. You know, you can totally understand. And it sounds like you've been able to hang in there. So that in itself is is such an accomplishment as well.
Yeah. It was not always like lights and glamour for me. Oh my goodness. It was very empowering, you know, doing what I had to do and dealing with what I had going on in my life to get where I am now. And it wasn't given to me, you know, so I'm definitely really grateful to have experienced, I guess, what I went through and what's going on now in my life. So, you know, it's all about gratitude.
Definitely. You know, actually just earlier today, I was listening to a podcast, the podcast called On Being, if anyone knows that one, with have you heard of that? Yeah. It's such a great one. And the guest I was listening to was Vincent Harding. He's a civil rights elder, for anyone who hasn't heard of his name before. And he actually passed away in 2014, but they replayed his podcast now. And he had a really interesting and important perspective on the importance of people's stories and finding your own story, and also asking people what their story is as well. Again, to your comfortability, what's a bit of your story for especially most of my listeners who may have not heard your story before?
Where would you like me to start? There's like a lot that I've
right. Tell me your life story. You grew up probably just training a lot, I can imagine. I have a good friend who was going to try to go pro, and she ended up going for college tennis instead. But that's pretty much about my knowledge on the world of tennis. Did you train intensively, like growing up, or, you know, did it happen later on in life for you?
Well, tennis is actually a really huge sport in my hometown in Kalamazoo, Michigan. The USGA has an annual junior tournament there. It's called the USGA Super Nationals, Boys Nationals. And every top junior every top junior in the world comes to my hometown to play in this tournament, because whoever wins the tournament actually gets a main draw entrance into the U.S. Open, which is a Grand Slam tournament. It's like super
intense. So it's very big where you are.
I was so competitive, which was good for me, actually, with it being that competitive. It just forced me to get better. It forced me to get good at a young age. So I did get a scholarship from the USTA when I was a teenager. And from there, I just worked my way up the rankings, the junior rankings. And, you know, a few times I was ranked number one in a couple tournaments, in like the USGA tournaments. And in high school, I took over the number one spot for, you know, some of our bigger tournaments when our other star player could not be there because he was doing something else. He was a tennis star as well. Scott Adzema, and he couldn't come to the tournament, or something happened, and the coach just put me in to play in his spot. So that happened, and after that, I wasn't really pursuing professional tennis, you know, after high school. I was more focused on college and just like experiencing being free, like growing up, being, you know, 18, 19. I actually graduated high school when I was 19, actually. I should have graduated when I was 18, but funny story, I actually got held back in elementary because I feel like the teacher was racist, actually. I feel like she was racist and she held me back. I can't prove that she was, but I feel like that maybe had something to do with that because,
I mean,
you know, I was so little, I barely remember that. But what my mom tells me is that I was held back because I wasn't mature enough, apparently. I guess I was laughing in class all the time, or maybe I wasn't doing my homework. Or I don't know, but it was just like, I feel like I've always been really, really into like getting my work done and whatnot. Like I feel like I've always been a good student. Like, and I got when I was in college, I got an A in my English paper and things like that. So, but I mean, you never know. I guess sometimes it takes someone on the outside to see what's actually going on. And, you know, there wasn't a fly in the wall to tell me what I was doing wrong. I guess I'm doing right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I could ask my mom about it, but I actually ran into some elementary teachers when I was in my hometown, you know, cause the teachers, you know, they kind of just live there forever. Mm-hmm. Like they live their whole lives in their town or whatever. So I ran into one of my elementary teachers and, I think I was one of her favorites. Yeah, one of my favorite teachers. So, I mean, it's so funny how teachers, like, really, you know, kind of have an influence on students. Like, we remember their faces after years and years later. And you're just like, why is this lady?
Why
does this lady look so familiar?
And
then I was like, oh, my God, my teachers.
Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yeah. It's interesting, like, how much influence they do have over the students, why I think it's such a important job as well. Because it does influence each and every student so much and impacts them so much for good or for better or for worse, you know, for through each year of life. So
yeah,
I'm glad you got to run into one of your favorites.
It was really nice. But yeah, I kind of got off topic, but so back to the tennis career. All right. So after high school, I took like a 6-month break from tennis and I entered like a league at the YMCA. And I entered the highest league available. And this was me not playing tennis, like, for so many months, right? Because I was depressed, and, like, I got my hair cut, and I didn't like it, and I gained weight. I was depressed. I was in my room. Yeah. I was living at my mom's. I was just, like, eating all the time and just being in my room and not doing anything. And that's, like, the heaviest I've ever weighed. And it's so funny. I told my friends that I was, like, depressed and overweight. And, like, they're like, oh, Linda, whatever. You know, they don't even know that because that's how much I didn't even talk about it. Like, it was just like,
right.
So funny.
But it was just like,
wow. But yeah,
you know,
so I joined that league. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I can definitely relate. I mean, as far as I was a dancer for my whole life and growing up and in an intensive conservatory. And when I hit 18, I need a break. This is too much pressure on me. It was all the pressure all at once, you know, so I can definitely relate with all of that. Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. There was a lot going on. So yeah, after that, you know, I entered the league and I just like killed everyone. It was really easy to, I beat like everyone there and I was just like, oh my God, maybe I should pursue professional tennis again because it was just like a thought and I really didn't take it serious until that happened. And it kind of like sparked a fire in me. And
you've got something for this. You know?
That's really how I see it happened. How I see it kind of went down for me. And I ended up getting a coach in Los Angeles. And then I did all this intense training with these different ATP pros. And so I had a coach to kind of help me train, and I went, you know, I started exercising and getting as fit as I could. And I eventually, and I just turned pro. So what I did was I got my representation for USA on the ITF pro circuit. And that was around, I believe, 2012. I also moved to Chicago, and that Chicago played a really big part in my tennis career as well, because from, you know, Michigan, it's such a small, I feel like it's just like, you know, the state is, I feel like it's very regressive. And I mean, there weren't any tennis pros there or anything. So when I moved to Chicago, it's such a huge city. If I needed to hit against a, you know, a tennis pro or, you know, a college player, it was very easy for me to meet up with someone and they could help me train and get ready for my tournament. So when I, when I did that, that just really helped quite a bit. So I did that. Then I went out to California and I, you know, I entered my first tournament in Costa Mesa. And then after that, Laguna Niguel. And I actually met Taylor Dent. He's a former American star player. And he was in the players lounge. And I was so shocked when I was there, you know, cause I was, I was like the newbie on tour and I didn't know anyone and no one knew who I was. And I was just in awe when I was in the, you know, players lounge. And, you know, of course, this was before COVID, obviously. So everyone was just kind of all around. And I see Taylor Dent walk in into the players lounge. And I'm just thinking like, oh, my God, it's Taylor Dent. And I feel like my heart like. Raced a little bit. I definitely had like a stand moment. And he came up to me and he's like, Hey, I'm Taylor Dent, whatever. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, I know you're Taylor Dent. Like, why did he just introduce himself to me? So crazy. It was just amazing because after that, like, I think a day after I had training and stuff, I went back to my hotel because the tournament hadn't started yet. And so I go back to the tournament and get ready. And I'm in court. I'm getting ready to go on court and train and practice. And I see Taylor again. He walks by me and he literally goes, he's like, hey, Lindell, how's it going? And I was like, oh, it's good. And I was like, oh, my God. He said my name. Like, I was like, oh, my God, he said my name. He remembers my name. So I was just feeling like, oh, my God, I guess I've made it now.
Yeah. Hey, well, you know what? It shows you, yes, you've got worth, too. I think that there's moments in everyone's lives where you go, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I got this. Like, this, you know, we're equals here, like, as far as being human beings and, you know, whatever, we've both had these different accomplishments, but it's like, oh yeah, I'm worth this, you know?
Yeah, that's probably gonna stay with me forever. It was such an inspiring moment for me.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It definitely was a huge time stamp on my tennis career for sure. And then after that, oh my God, I recently had Venus and Serena. They were on my story. I had like tagged them in something and I didn't think they would looked at it, but they totally looked at it. They like looked at my whole story, not just the story I tagged them in, but like the whole thing. And I was like, it was so cool. It was the other year of Venus. She actually wrote me on Twitter. She wrote me back on Twitter, and of course that shocked me. And then she actually spoke my name on one of her lives, like, the other month too, which really shocked me too, because I just wrote her. I was just like, hey, Venus. I didn't expect her to reply because she has so many fans, and I didn't think she would have known who I was yet, because my Twitter account my Instagram account, it's not verified yet. I'm not sure why it's not, but I feel like that makes like a big difference between like who other stars talk to or not, because they can see like important. Not to say that someone that isn't verified isn't equally as important, but I'm just saying that has something to do with it. But she totally was like she was on her live and she was just like, she's like, hey, Lindell. And I was just like, wow. I was like, oh my God, I freaked out. I freaked out, and like I took like I literally freaked out. I made a whole story about how Venus like wrote like spoke to me on her.
But you know what? You're doing things. You're making moves. You're taking charge in your own life, and people are noticing. That's basically what I feel like is. I mean, I'm just getting to know you, but I can sense that that's kind of what's happening right now. You know.
Yeah.
I love it.
Must be. Yeah.
So how did you? So you're also an actor, and you're kind of a performer of different sorts as well. It's like, did you have that passion as well growing up, and like in you, or did it kind of happen later on, or did you fall into it? How did that happen for you?
Well, I feel like I'm such a creative being, and so I just I actually didn't do any acting. I did take drama, though. I took drama in high school, but I never pursued it outside of high school. Like, after I graduated, I did not pursue acting a career at all. And I just feel like I'm, I guess, one of the few that's been blessed and lucky to have gotten, like, noticed. And, you know, this has been asked more than once because people are like, oh, my gosh, how did this happen? Yeah, so I was modeling a lot more actually when I was in Chicago. So,
okay.
What happened was one of my model friends, her name's Siobhan Marie. She's this beautiful model. I met her in my hometown, and she had moved to Chicago as well, I believe. And so, she had told me about a casting call for Umpire, and of course, it wasn't out yet, and I didn't know anything about it. And I said they were looking. The production was looking for attractive African American males for the show, and so I submitted my casting photos to the director, and then they picked me, and then that's just kind of like I just kind of ran with it. And Lee Daniels actually knew me by my name as well, which freaked me out. In a good way, when I was, because I was an extra during that, but I was a featured extra, so it was like a big deal because people already knew me from modeling and pro tennis.
Right.
But then, I had a really strong presence on the show for this, for the few seconds that I had on there. It was enough to get quite a bit of publicity. Oh my gosh, I got a ton of publicity from being on Umpire, and I didn't have a standard speaking role, which was crazy.
Right, but what a fun way for like everything to come together. It kind of just sounds like things were placing themselves, and then it just kind of was like, yep, boom, there you go. Like, here's what you need, sort of thing.
It's the universe. I swear, it's the universe. The universe is always conspiring in our favor. You just have to be open to receiving what you're gonna get. You have to be open to it. Like, even a bad day could turn into a good day, because you don't know what's going to happen until the day's over, and you don't know if something that you did during that bad day is going to affect your life in the future, and it could be your highest good. And you could never even know. Like, you don't know what someone is doing, what kind of project is going on, and unless it's brought to your attention. So with that being said, be positive, be positive when the going gets tough and you're against the wall. You just have to stay positive. So all of that happened, and I literally, oh my gosh, I got sponsors a few months later, a couple months later. The media did a whole sit-down interview. I did so many sit-down interviews with Fox News. It was crazy. And oh my gosh, it was just like, it was so wild, because the media, I really wasn't that famous back then, and like the media was just eating everything up. And the anchor, she was like, I remember her name was Dawn Hashburn. She actually still works for the she still works for Fox Chicago, Fox 32 Chicago News. That was the media that did it. And so she invited me to the Navy Pier in Chicago, which is where we actually filmed on location for Umpire, for season one. That's where most of the first episode was filmed. And she did, like a live interview with me, and it went live. And And it was wild. Like, they gave me the mic. I mean, after the interview was over, they were, like, super nice. I'm like, hey, Linda, like, here, you can just take the mic and just do whatever you want. I'm just like, oh, my God. So,
it
was like, crazy.
You know,
and then I ended up getting – I'm sorry?
Oh, I was going to say, it just sounds like, you know, you've been, like, had these opportunities and you're – you've been, I guess, in the right mindset as well and to notice them and to just say, yes, I'm going to run with it. Yeah, I'll just roll with it. You know, I'm going to roll with this, which I think is also, you know, really refreshing too.
Yeah, yeah, that definitely was really amazing. And, like, being in Chicago, you know, my God, once that interview went live – all over Chicago like that, you can just imagine me trying to be out in public. Like, it was just crazy. Because I guess I wasn't thinking right, because after that was over, I was not, you know, I didn't have a driver at the time. And so I was taking, you know, the train like everyone else. A lot of people take in Chicago. In Chicago, it's called the L.
Mm-hmm.
And in here in New York, we call it, you know, just like, we don't call it, you know, the L. We call it like the subway or whatever. And I'm just like, well, because like when I was in culture shock when I went to New York for the first time, but back to Chicago. So I'm out on the train or the L, and people were staring at me and looking at me and whispering, and then the people were like, umpire, umpire, umpire.
Oh, wow.
And I'm just like, oh my God. And I just waved. I'm like, hi. And then And then I just tried to, like, dismiss everyone, like, politely. But, yeah, and that went on for a few days. And I call it media – I call them media tremors. That's what I call it now. I call it media tremors. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's my little term. I don't know if anyone said it before, but I'm just going to – I'm going to have that as my my like not copyright, but what do they call that when you like trademark or whatever?
Trademark, yeah.
My trademark.
Yeah.
So I'm probably gonna start saying that on my reality show. I'll probably start saying that. Oh, I had media tremors. I'll just start using it as a hashtag or something. That would be great.
Yes, there you go. You just gotta start. Look, it sounds like literally anything starting is picking up some speed or some. People are paying attention to it, so start whatever you want. People will hop on. I like it.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to play a little message from our sponsors. And when we come back, I would really love to hear about what you're working on right now. And I have got a few more juicy questions for you, and I'm really excited to ask them. So
sure.
Let's hear from who during this episode.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
We're back. So, Linda, you've got a new show that we're working on.
I do. Yes, Deuces in Love. It's just like, oh my God, I'm just so happy and proud of myself. Like, I just, you know, it's just such a struggle when you think about dreams and just how elusive dreams and goals are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for me, like, the way it works, like, I turn dreams into goals, because if you look at it, you think about a dream, right? It's a dream, and you think it's elusive, yeah. And it's unobtainable, right? So in my mindset, my thinking, what I do, I literally turn my dream into a goal so that I can manifest it quicker. If you think about it as a goal, then it becomes obtainable, and you let go of these you let go of these, you let go of like the prison that you keep yourself in, right? And so now you're able to take, you know, one step in front of the other and just really chuck away at that dream because it's now a goal and now it's, you know, it's feasible. And so, and that's what I do.
So you basically, manifest your dreams journal. And put action to it.
Yeah, and I use a manifest journal now. I have a journal that I write in that I focus on. I do meditating. I'm a firm believer in law of attraction. I live law of attraction also, and I practice it. One of my spiritual mentors, her name is Shakira Maria. I actually just did an interview with her earlier today because she was just amazed by all of my my glow up, as she called it.
Yeah.
The recent years, everything just kind of just blew up. The last few years, like with me working with Katie Holmes and, you know, Teresa Giudice from Bravo Housewives, and I ran into the American Pie star when I was in New York, Jason Biggs, and then I also ran into the Harry Potter star that hired me to work for him as a coach, Jason Isaacs. He's on my website. On my Tennis Academy website, I have him as the featured image. But I feel like the universe is going to help people that want to help themselves, you know, and you're doing something positive as well. It's a win-win.
Definitely.
What can we expect to see? Oh, my God.
I know. Well, I think that's a wonderful point.
Yeah, you know, I have like a public announcement. Actually, I really apologize. What happened was we had some production delays because of COVID, of COVID-19 and the pandemic. The show was actually expected to release on Amazon Prime yesterday on my birthday, and it was scheduled, but then we had like a setback, and now it's not going to be released until I believe the end of the month or the first week of September.
Okay.
Yeah, and fans were like messaging me on my Instagram, and you know, I try to reply to everyone, and I'm so sorry, and someone else wrote me,
right.
And
well,
like,
you know what?
No, where's the show? They're waiting for it. They're like, I really wanted to see the show. I was looking forward to it all week. And I was like, oh my God. And then someone else said they subscribed to Amazon Prime just for my show, and I'm just like, oh,
it's amazing. You know what, though? Like, it's okay. COVID-19 has changed everything for everyone, and nothing is normal. And people love you, and they are going to wait for it to come on when it comes, when it happens. And I personally, I'm very excited to see what happens within it. And can you tell the audience a little bit about what will be happening in a show? Like, what is Deuces in Love about?
Yeah, so Deuces in Love is a reality show starring me, and the cameras will follow me around Hollywood. And when I say follow around Hollywood, it's because I'll be interviewing celebrities on the show. So viewers will be able to get an inside look inside of Hollywood, inside the minds of the stars that I'm interviewing. But not only that, but we also will be addressing several issues that have been going on that really need to get they need to be addressed. You know, they need to be, I need to make them visible on the show, and Amazon Prime is the perfect platform to really syndicate this really nationally and internationally. And so, you know, we'll be focused on Black Lives Matter. We're going to be focused on redlining in America, which is a huge issue. We'll also be focusing on gentrification, which is a problem. We'll also be focusing on LGBTQ issues. There's been a lot of transgender, trans people being killed, and it's so sad.
Yes.
Actually, a transgender person is, I have a friend that's transgender, and she is very important to me. I had met her. She's one of my first LGBTQ friends when I went to New York, and I definitely care about her. And it's so sad to see all these transgenders being killed, and like it's never been as high as it has been now.
Wow.
And I don't know why this is happening, and that's why I'm gonna have her and her sister on the show, and her sister is famous as well. She's actually one of the stars from Orange Is the New Black, Selena Slava.
Awesome.
She'll be on the show. I'll probably interview both of the sisters on an episode. We're going to have 11 episodes. Billy Porter is interested in the show as well. I've been kind of emailing back and forth with his PR. They work under Slate PR, I believe. So that's kind of under collaboration right now. I'm also looking to get. I was thinking Gabrielle Union and Dwayne and their trans child as well, which will be great because I really want to kind of get an inside scoop on how they feel as parents in Hollywood and how are they protecting and, you know, really just shielding their child to all these homophobic attacks from our, you know, administration. I don't want to get political here, but it's just been such a nightmare for LGBTQ.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Oh, it's like a tense thing. So please continue. That, like, you know, because it's avoidable, I think, at this point in time. You know?
Oh, my God. Yes. It is. It's really outrageous. And, I mean, honestly, I really don't want to talk about it. It's probably going to upset me. I want to keep my vibes up high.
For sure. No, but I'll say that I am so grateful and glad that your show is becoming a thing and that it's getting these topics up and out so that people can start talking about them. It's going to lead the way even more so in a, I think media is so important and instrumental when used. It's a tool and it's a choice of how it can be used. And I'm just grateful that you're using it in a way that will be helping to conversation and to, like I was saying before, and I think that that's really, really important.
It's all about stories. It's all about sharing and talking about those difficult stories. Talk about something that's difficult and get it out there. That's the only way things are going to change. Everyone has to do it. It can't just be me. It can't be just me.
Right.
It literally has to be everyone in this world having those difficult conversations, or the mindset's not going to change. The paradigm needs to change. The paradigm, our unconscious paradigm as a culture and society in America needs to change. Like, that's the only way that the systematic racism is going to be vanquished.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my take. That's what I believe.
The whole shift.
And so the pandemic is helping. You know, I mean, nobody wanted this, but it's really, I feel like it's manifesting things that wouldn't have never been manifested if it didn't happen.
I feel so similarly. I really do. It's like it was the with all the hardship it has brought, it has also been a pause that has made people listen and settle down enough to actually think about things and starting to, you know, surrender to change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention the show. We're also going to be focused on really just kind of giving an insight on the ITF tour and the ITF tour and the ATP tour. Those are the professional tours on the pro circuit for professional tennis players. We're going to be talking about the financial struggles that we all face and the mental health problems as well. So the financial issues and the mental health issues on the pro circuit tour, on the pro circuit tour and ATP tour.
Great.
Good. Yeah, we'll probably get some athletes on there as well. I'll probably interview some athletes as well on the show.
Which would be so great to hear from athletes as well. I'm really excited and looking forward to seeing your show myself. Now they know all about it. My listeners know all about it. You guys are more excited people. I did want to ask you.
Me, I'm more excited just thinking about everything. I just heard back from one of our videographers earlier. He wants to do like a whole day of shooting this week. Another thing that I did not mention to anyone. No one knows about this, actually. So you're the first to know. Your viewers will be, listeners will be the first to know about this. So our show, Deuces in Love, we are actually doing this old school. We are not releasing the whole season digitally.
Oh, yeah.
And we're actually releasing one episode a week. for 11 episodes. We're also doing 11 episodes because I believe in 11-11, law of attraction,
yes.
Divine.
That's why you're here
alignment.
Tonight.
I'm sorry.
That's why you're here tonight. I'm the same way. I love that.
Yeah, so there's that. And then also the other reason that we are not releasing the whole season at once is because of the media. We really want to really spread out the media timeline for Deuces and Love because, you know, traditionally, you know, now shows just, they'll just, you know, release the whole season digitally, you know, on like Amazon Prime or, you know, Hulu or, you know, even Netflix. And it'll be trending, you know, on Twitter for like a day or 2 days. And then that's it because everyone's already, you know, binged it and it's over and done with. The media has ate it up and it's over. It's old news.
Right. Right.
So as a business entrepreneur mindset for me, again, I haven't told anyone this, we're releasing the show once a week. Each episode will get released once a week. And then eventually, you know, people will be able to watch the whole season after, you know, all of the episodes are released. But we're doing that really to have a stronger media timeline.
Right.
I think that will be the best decision for me. And, yeah, because I, like, honestly, I want to have my show. We really want to, like, for numbers, we want to get the show in, like, the top, like, number one. Like, I want to be, let's be frank, let's be transparent. I want my show to be number one, so.
Hey,
so, yeah,
put it out there. Yeah, say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah, so
I think that's
so,
you know, it's very sustainable for you to be doing that. And I think people will then, like, I mean, you know what we're talking about, of course. And I, my understanding, too, is just that people then will build a habit of waiting for your show, of wanting your show, of wanting more. You know, I think that that's something that they'll be waiting for and wanting a week, which and something to look forward to that will
smart decision.
Them. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, we actually had a teaser that I put out, and I was already getting, like, some online trolls about the teaser because it showed me at the beach with friends, you know. I mean, little do they know, I've been out here, you know, as an activist for Black Lives Matter and a whole other, you know, charities and movements. And it's like, no, I'm not at the beach all day enjoying my life. No, I just did this once, and you guys are just seeing this trailer. The show is not
right.
about being at the, you know, being at the beach with friends.
Right.
I'm like, do you want to fight? Do you want to fight?
Oh, man.
I'm just joking,
well,
but
hey,
I was just teasing with one of the Instagram followers or whatever. So
you
want to fight?
How about next time you just join me at the beach from socially distanced? So. Safe, you know, distance. Like, just join me next time. But
yeah,
I just want to ask
yeah,
you.
Sure.
And there's a delay. So sorry, the back and forth. But I did want to ask you just two more questions because I really feel that, you know, what you're doing, the work that you're doing, and the way you're living your life is that you are being a leader who's stepping up to the plate. And I was curious of if you have any wise words for anyone that's listening, but also feeling a nudge to step into a position of leadership or a nudge to do something a bit better than they have done before, but they're just kind of finding themselves to step over that edge. Or do you have any thoughts on leadership in general?
You know, leadership, it really takes right person to do it. And I can say, I can also say that some people just aren't made to be leaders. I mean, look at our president. But, you know, people can be trained and taught and they can learn how to lead and do better. You know, people can learn how to, you know, improve themselves. But yeah, for leadership, it's all about knowing what your audience needs, knowing about what your people need. If you're serving someone, something, and you're a service to others, you need to know from A to Z what they need from you. And if you don't, find someone that does know what they need and then have them help you achieve it. Hire someone. Just don't do it on your own if you don't know what you're doing. Like leadership is that's what leadership is about. So it's also about doing things that that you feel are going to be best for your community, even if you don't feel bad. Even if you feel like it's not going to be good for you, or if it's bad for you, you have to put your feelings aside. As a leader, you have to put your feelings in your life aside, and do what's right for whatever position, you know, that you're doing as far as a leader, like whatever's going up, like whatever is on the table with you as a leader, you have to take the initiative. You have to be focused, and you have to do it wholeheartedly. You can't do it, excuse my language, you can't be half-assed with that. You really can't. People will, you know, they will find the bullshitters, you know, and you know, and all that, so.
I really do feel that, like, in this time right now, amidst, you know, all that's happened in 2020 and previously up to what is happening right now, I do feel like people are feeling more pushed to within themselves to make a change in their own lives and to do the things that they've been talking about, but to finally step into that. So I can definitely take
some
inspiration
from you. Yeah,
you
have to let go of that fear. You know, fear is an illusion. I mean, I didn't mention that, but fear is an illusion. Fear is not real. It's not real. It's just fabricated thoughts in your mind. Literally.
Yeah.
And you just have to let it go.
You can, yeah. And I think you can just believe, like, I have had somebody tell me before, you can have be changed instantly. It's like believing in Santa Claus your whole life, and then someone tells you that he's not real, and then all of a sudden, sorry if anybody believes in Santa Claus right now. If they tell you it's not real, all of a sudden you don't believe anymore. It's like your beliefs can be changed, and I think fear is something similar. If you believe that you're stuck, I think is I'm not stuck. I'm free, and therefore you step forward and step into it too. But.
Yeah, fear is like the biggest dream killer. Fear and self-doubt is the biggest dream killer. And people just, you know, we're not made. We are, people are comfortable. People are comfortable being comfortable. And let me say that again. People are comfortable being comfortable. You know, like really let that resonate. Like really think about that. You know,
write that down.
That's really huge.
Yeah.
That's so huge. And again, you know, and so, you know, people are comfortable being comfortable, and it's because of the way that our minds work and the way that society works. Like we are not taught to, you know, be risky. We're not taught to take risks. We're not taught to do things that people say we shouldn't do. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to get something that's in your mind, and you're going to ask people about it, and no one's going to want you to do it. And that's when you're going to have to take the initiative yourself and really do what you want to do. So that's really huge.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, that is really great advice. That specifically when you know specifically that it's right to do, and people aren't supporting you, go for it anyway. So, Linda, one final question for you.
At the end of the day, your mind is.
And again, it's the delay. I'm so sorry. We keep going over each other. I was going to ask you one last question, just to round things out. Is what is your hope for your work in the world? What is your main why?
For the things that I do, like my dreams and goals, like why am I doing all this?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, my main why would be, you know, it's a really good question. Why am I doing this? You know, I feel like it needs to be put out, the things that I'm doing, it needs to be put out in the world. I think there needs to be a space for the things that I'm doing, and right now there isn't. And, you know, I feel like also with me coming out as the first openly gay tennis player, like no one has done that yet either on the men's tour. So I'm the first to do that. And I felt like it was time to do it. You know, I want to be the person to help the younger generation and LGBT community in sports. And this is the best way to do it. And that's definitely some of the whys. And I just feel like it's my calling, and I want to help others. I want to inspire others. You know, I literally got a Facebook message from someone. I haven't shared this before. This is a little, this little graphic, so warning the viewers. But someone messaged me on my Facebook account, and they told me they tried to take their life this year. And they said me and someone else inspired them to not do it. And I'm, like, reading this huge paragraph text from this person. I'm just thinking, like, oh, my God. Like, it's just, like, wow. Like,
wow.
I'm, you know, it's like, I don't even know this person. And I've been a part of helping save their life. Like, you know, I was so moved. Like, I could have easily just cried and just, I could have just bawled my eyes out, you know, thinking, you know how I've helped that girl, you know. So like, oh my God, like, you know, the messages I've received from other people after me coming out, and just the messages I get from people that they're so inspired by me doing what I'm doing. I mean, I'm definitely not an A-list star yet, but people are just so happy, you know, with the things that I've done, and they just, oh, that's my friend, and oh my, that's my friend in that magazine, or that's my friend on TV, or oh, that's my cousin, you know, like, it's great. So I feel like I'm doing it for me, and I'm also doing it for the people in this world, whether I meet them or not. I'm affecting them, and now I mean, that message is probably the strongest, you know, validation, really, that I can think of to date that I've helped someone, you know, that I've never met. So it's really just, there's really no words for it. So.
That's so beautiful, Lindell. Thank you so much for sharing with me tonight.
And you're welcome.
Yeah, of course. And I want to say, we've got to wrap things up now, but thank you, Lindell. Like, honestly, for spending time to speak with me and share your story and to tell us all about what you're doing, because I just feel such good energy from you. And I really, really wish you the absolute best. Everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I appreciate you for having me on the show. I've been trying to give my time to everyone. My publicist
take some for yourself.
She's been so. I'm sorry.
Oh, I said take. Do you take some time for yourself?
I know. I'm trying to. My publicist was just like, she was just really focused on me doing, like, as many interviews and things like that as I could. But I've actually turned some down because, you know, it's like some of these questions are just too much. And I'm just like, okay, I'm not answering this question. And I'm like, how much are they paying me for this interview? Am I going to do this? Like, I mean, because it's like, you know how they say publicity is bad, any publicity is good publicity. Mm. What is it? Bad publicity is good publicity? I think that's what they say for it. It's like some of these interviews, I'm just not, some of them I was just not feeling it. I just did an interview with New York Daily News, which is really huge. I think it's like a positive tabloid, because I know it's right up there with like New York Times and New York Post.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a positive tabloid. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but I just know it's like really huge. And I had to do an interview with the reporter I think it was on Friday last week, so I think that should be coming out this week. And then I have like this other one coming up with Out Magazine, which is really exciting. I've always wanted to be in Out Magazine. It's like such a dream come true, because you know, Out Magazine is like one of the biggest. It's like the biggest LGBTQ magazine in our country, really, in the world, really. So
exciting.
I'm really honored.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm really happy about it.
Yeah. Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Well, for everybody listening, if you'd like to get connected with Lindell, in the description below, you'll see all of his social media, his website, how you can get connected with him and follow his journey, as well as check out Deuces in Love on Amazon Prime, coming out very, very soon. And if you are interested in checking out BeUnique.org, please do. It's BeUnique. Those are our fantastic sponsors. And I'm going to wrap things up now, but I'm wishing everybody good rest, some healthy creativity and inspiration this week. Thank you so much, Lindell. And I'm going to say peace.
Thank you so much for having me on, and it was so nice to meet you. And safe travels to everyone if they're doing anything this week. COVID is still very apparent. Actually, we have the lowest infection rates right now here in New York, so that's very exciting.
Amazing. Yes. So good.
But I've still been staying in the house.
Yes. Yeah. The smart thing to do. All right.
Well,
so good to meet
so
you.
You too. Have a good one. Thank you.
You too. Oh, absolutely.
Bye.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Are you ready for this now? Jaw dropping.